Well, just a reminder, there is a sermon outline on the very last page of the worship folder if you choose to follow along with the sermon in that way. Hopefully super easy to find, and just on the last page of the bulletin. And so superhero movies are hugely popular. Hollywood banks on that, and they pour a lot of money into oftentimes hero movies, and hoping to get that money back. Movies like Batman and Superman and Spider-Man coming out later on this summer. They speak to our desire for hope, don't they? Superheroes speak to desire for a better world, something outside of us. Heroes are everywhere today. Maybe not so much even superheroes, but people we consider to be heroes. Maybe in sports and movies, mentors, moms, dads, grandparents. But what makes them a hero? What makes, when we think about someone who is a hero in our life, what makes them a hero? I've often had debates with people whether Batman is a hero or not. He has lots of cool gadgets, but does he have superhero strength or anything like that? I don't know. What got me to thinking about it, I brought along with me a little bit of a superhero quiz. And see if you can name the year that these superheroes debuted. And so this first one is Batman. When do you think Batman came out in terms of the comics? It's been a while. It's earlier than 63, believe it or not. 1939 is it. You get the star for today. And these next two came out at the same time, the Hulk and Spider-Man. They're more recent. They look a little bit more recent, too, don't they? 1962 is when they came out. And a more recent one, some of you might recognize, and it's hard to believe they're this old already. The Incredibles, right? Yeah. Do you remember when this came out? You guys are close. 2004. Can you imagine? Think how old that is right now, right? We're pushing, you know, a lot of years. And then there's one more hero. I don't know who this one is. Yeah. We'll just keep going. Yeah, what year is that one? Please don't. Oh, thank you. I take your star back. So anyway, we know the year Batman and Spider-Man debuted because we love origin stories, don't we? We love these superhero movies when it tells how they became superheroes. The moment an ordinary person gets some extraordinary power. Today, we're looking at the ultimate origin story. How the cross changes us. Changes our identity. Doesn't give us superhuman strength, but it connects us to superhuman powers, to God Himself. From victim of this world to become conquerors. You know, the heroes speak to a deeper hunger within all of us, right? That there's a hunger in each of us for something more in life, something more from this world, a better life, for someone to save us from this everyday, ordinary life. They give us hope for rescue. You know, each generation has had its heroes, right? Even these superheroes, the comic books, they kind of resonate within certain generations. And so, like, Buck Rogers was a certain generation, right? And The Incredibles was another generation. You heard just a little bit ago today, right? And so, what is your superhero, the one that you connect with, that you resonate with most? And so we're beginning a summer sermon series simply called Hero. And we're going to be looking at the Bible and seeing kind of like looking at, for example, Superman. Who is the Superman in the Bible? And how God taps ordinary people to do some extraordinary things. He taps people at a particular time and place for the sake of the gospel. And He calls and taps us as well. And how God has each of us to be a hero for someone else. But before I get ahead of myself, and more on that later today and throughout the summer months. But as we're looking at our text today in Romans 8, Paul encourages, we are more than conquerors through Christ. Every hero has a story in how it gets its power. It has an origin story. And some of these powers, in terms of superheroes, as we've talked about, some fly, some see through walls, some have those rays of through their eyes. They have strength. They run really fast. But all these are just made-up powers, right? But our true strength begins and ends in the same place, in Jesus. That resurrection power lives inside of us. As Paul says in our text, I'll start. I invite you to join with me in just a moment. He says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's join together. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Nothing can separate us from God's love. The key to remember in this section of Scripture is that God is for us. Did you catch that? Maybe that's something to underline or highlight in your text. That if God is for us, how do we know that God is for us? Well, God's commitment is to us. We look to the cross that shows the fact that He is for us. The word for in the Greek language is huper, and it's translated literally on behalf of. And it's used three times in this section alone. It's an important word for Paul, the fact that he used it not just once, but three times. If God is huper, for us, on behalf of us, who can be against us? And so it is rescue talk, isn't it? As we have a real Savior in the flesh, huper, on behalf of, for you. It's a clear theme for Paul, is this theme of on behalf of, this rescue talk, rescue language spills from the cross and into the church and into our lives. Just as God is for us, our call is to be for others, right? We have been saved we've been blessed to be a blessing to someone else. And you know, living a poured out life is what it's all about, being a hero for someone else, encouraging, loving, and being. You know, the Bible is filled with ordinary people that God taps to become heroes for the gospel. And each week we're going to look at how God tapped very ordinary men and women for the sake of the gospel and transforms them into heroes, and how He is doing the same in us today. It's called discipleship. And so He tapped people like David, how David stood up against Goliath, and David became a king and kind of led the kingdom to a different level, to a new level, especially in their relationship with God. Then there's Daniel, thrown into a pit of lions and lived to tell the story about it. Joseph was thrown into a pit, sold into slavery by his brothers. And he went on to rally a nation through a time of famine. And then there's Paul, who killed Christians, and God got a hold of him. And he became an incredible shining light for the sake of the gospel. We wouldn't have almost half the New Testament if it weren't for God getting a hold of Paul and transforming him. Each person God taps, He equips for some God-sized task. Each God led out of their comfort zones to rally a people around God. But how does He do this? Well, through the not-so-secret TGC way, living a life of truth, grace, and the Christ-centered way. As we look through the Bible from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, we meet a God of grace and mercy and truth. This God has transformed and changed us and the world as well. As He says in verse 17, let's read it together. And since we are His children, we are heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering. Together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. We share in His glory, but we also share in His suffering too, don't we? That's living that TGC way of life. It means stepping into the world of suffering that we see today, not running away from the wreckage, but running toward it. Reminds me of a story of a man by the name of Aaron Upoff, who was finishing his vicarage year at Trinity and Lutheran in Norman, Oklahoma. He saw a tornado tear through Moore, at the time, Oklahoma, several years ago, and killed many people, including children. It was devastating, as you can see, just flattened the area. And he drove as far as he could, and he parked at a nearby house, and a couple welcomed him in, and that couple gives him a bike and some surgical gloves to take along with him. And when he rides the bike to a checkpoint, they wave him through, and he goes to the epicenter of destruction. And he begins to walk through the neighborhood, and you could smell the snap of pine trees, the leaking gas, the siren sounds in the background. It was a very eerie scene. You know, Aaron didn't have heavy machinery with him. Just a bike, some surgical gloves, and the Holy Spirit. And he prays with parents and children at a nearby elementary school. It's one of the schools that actually took casualties through the tornado. And there was a 9-year-old missing little girl named Emily. And he goes on to say, I prayed with as many people as I could. I asked Jesus for comfort and for peace that surpasses all understanding, which is ours by virtue of Good Friday and Easter. What made Aaron Upoff a hero? It wasn't any superhero strength or anything that he had that set him apart from anyone else. What made Aaron a hero was the fact that he was available. It was a ministry of presence. He didn't do anything miraculous, right? He just simply prayed. He encouraged. He loved on people. God tapped him on the shoulder and said, go. He does the same thing in us too. Where are the places God may be tapping us? Maybe not to a tornado, but maybe to help someone who just needs an encouraging word. Where is God nudging us, maybe even right now through the Holy Spirit, to go? Not in some big things, but in the everyday life in which we live. A hero origin story asks, are you a wham or a way? Let me explain. Arthur Gordon was once visiting a kindergarten class one day, and the teacher of the class often reminded the kids who were acting up to stop being a wham. As soon as the teacher said this, the children would straighten up, and Arthur wanted to know what on earth was a wham, and why is it so bad? And so after class, the teacher says that the wham stood for what about me? And so she was teaching the kids in her class to be less focused on themselves and more focused on others. As she wanted her students to stop thinking about their own needs, but to think about other people's needs, not just their own. And so she taught them that no one liked a wham, a what about me person that is self-centered and selfish, all about me. We certainly have a world full of whams, don't we? And so this teacher is showing the kids not to be a wham, but to be a way. People who ask, what about you? To stop thinking about ourselves and start thinking about others. And we are a wham when you get cut off in traffic, right? We are a wham when the restaurant order is wrong. We are a wham a lot of times when we're at Walmart or a grocery store or Kroger, wherever we get our food, and the line that we're checking out in is going too long or it's taking too long. We have things to do, places to be. We are a wham when we come to church and we're thinking, what's with this change? Right? I don't like this. A hero of the gospel walks into the room and asks the question, what about you? What are the needs of the other person standing before us? How can I serve you? How can I help you? How can I encourage you? And the only true place that this starts is in Jesus. We can't do this by our own reason, power, or strength, Because if we had our own kind of way of how we would do things, we would choose to be a wham every day, every moment, all the time. But Jesus pushes us out of our comfort zones to be a way for someone else. Way people, put other people's needs before their own. And this series, these summer months, is going to be an opportunity for us, and I'm going to be nudging us to consider being more way-like in our life. After all, Jesus is the way to the Father for us. And so who may be the person God is calling you to be a way for? John says in 1 John 3, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions." They will know that we are Christians by our love, right? And so John challenges us to live a life poured out for others. Paul is casting a call to heroic action. And the Bible is loaded with this idea from beginning to end to encourage others, to fill other people up, to lift them up, to be a hero for someone else. In fact, do you know how many times the phrase "one another" is in Scripture? It's a lot. Over 100 times in the New Testament. And 59 of those "one another" statements are commands. The point is clear. To be a hero for someone else. To stop being a wham. And to think about how we can pour Jesus' love through us into others. As he goes on to say, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13, he says, I'll invite you to join with me in just a moment. "Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other," right? Be away. "Live in harmony and peace." Let's join together. "Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet each other with Christian love." Encourage each other. Greet each other with the love Jesus has shown to you. So this summer and the months ahead, we're going to have an opportunity to live this text out, to encourage one another, to be a way for our families, for our community. And so that's the hero challenge, as we're going to be living out in the days and weeks ahead. Who is your way? Who is the way person God is placing in your life to encourage, to uplift? Maybe it's someone here in this church. Maybe it's a neighbor, a coworker, someone that we kind of come across on a daily basis. And so your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to be a way to others, to stop being a wham, and start living the way. Father, we come before you, and we thank you for being that way for us, showing us the way to life itself. Because there was a time in all of our lives where we all are more like a wham, unfortunately. But yet you lead us to think about others through the cross. You break into our lives and shower us with forgiveness and life and love. Thank you, Father, for that gift. And even right now, maybe there's someone you're placing on our hearts where you are challenging us to be that superhero for. We pray that you would give us the courage and the boldness to say the words, to do the things, to do what it takes to be that gospel, to be your hands and feet to the people you've placed all around us, even now. Father, thank you for reaching out to us and giving us life itself. In your name we pray. Amen.